I can speak specifically about the parsha through the first couple psukim. But it's not just a message. It's sometimes you say a message. It's one local message. But this is a global message. It's a global message of what Torah is and what Torah is supposed to be. So Vidavar Hashem al Moshe b'Har Sinai leimur. So Hashem said to Moshe by Har Sinai. He said, "Davar al Bnei Yisrael v'yamart olein." So tell Klal Yisrael, "Kisavo el Aretz." When you get to Eretz Yisrael, Asher ani nosen lachem, that Hashem gives you. It seems redundant or unnecessary, obvious. Hashem gives us Eretz Yisrael. V'shav so ha'aretz Shabbos l'Hashem, and the land will have a Shabbos l'Hashem. And then the next psukim describe how Shemitah works. The cycle: 6 years, you have to 6 years you work, and the seventh year you take off. I want to make a few diukim in the first pasuk, first two pasukim, a few diukim, and then we'll talk about the diukim, and we'll try to come to something I think is very valuable. So the Svarna over here in the beginning, the Svarna points out, just to build up, everybody knows the first Rashi, but just to build up the first Rashi to really understand what he's saying, the Svarna points out over here, it says, "Lo yaskir b'shum mitzvah mokum hatzivu." It's a very strange phenomena. By no other mitzvah does Hashem tell you where he commanded that mitzvah. It's not of interest. It's not important to us. Dafka by this mitzvah, and that's why the Mechilta picks up on it. Rashi quotes the Mechilta, famous line: "Ma inyan shmita etzel har Sinai." When the pasuk opens up, "Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe b'har Sinai," he's telling us the location of the tzivoy of shmita. Like the Svarno says, there's no other mitzvah that Hashem tells us, he shares with us the location that tzivoy was given, because it doesn't make a difference. And mitzad sheni, the opposite, Har Sinai, if that's the location that this mitzvah was given, that's the location that every mitzvah was given. So first of all, the location is unnecessary, and second of all, it's obvious, because all mitzvahs were given at Sinai. Ma'inyan shmita etzel Har Sinai. Why is shmita specifically mentioned by Har Sinai? Why does this mitzvah get the attribute that Hashem specifies that this mitzvah was given at Har Sinai? So Rashi quotes the Mechilta. Mechilta is a teretz, and Rashi works to explain the teretz, meaning the teretz of the Mechilta, Rashi doesn't quote it. He quotes it, and then he explains it. He gives a pirish. He's saying something that you might not have understood just from the Mechilta alone. So we're going to try to say a pshat. It's not going to be the Mechilta, but there's what to rely on to say another pshat also. And then the order of the psukim is very strange, because if you read carefully, if you're not in a rush, and you read carefully, it says, "Kisavo el ha'aretz," when you come to the land that Hashem gives you, "v'shav so ha'aretz Shabbos la'Hashem." You have a shmita. But then it says 6 years you work. So the first pasuk's not true. It's not "v'shav so ha'aretz Shabbos la'Hashem." It's first 6 years you work. So what's the first pasuk talking about? When you get to Eretz Yisrael, "v'shav so ha'aretz Shabbos l'Hashem." That's not true. First 6 years you work, and then you have Shemitah. The psukim are confusing. They're not telling you the correct sequence of events. And then, one last diak, we'll point out that a lot of the Mepharshim discuss what Shabbos l'Hashem. Shabbos l'Hashem? By Shabbos, it never says Shabbos l'Hashem. By Yom Tov, it doesn't say Yom Tov l'Hashem. Mishkayach, tzitzis is also l'Hashem. Tefillin is also l'Hashem. All the mitzvahs l'Hashem. By this mitzvah, Shabbos l'Hashem. And by the normal, by the weekly Shabbos, it doesn't talk like that. So why by this Shabbos, Shabbos l'Hashem? What's the l'Hashem? So we'll talk a little bit about Shemitah. And there's something I think is underappreciated here about Shemitah. Shemitah is a lav. Shemitah is a regular aveira. A few lavim maybe. It's multiple lavim. There's multiple lavim when it comes to Shemitah. Now that it worked the ground, you can't do certain things. There are multiple lavim. A lav is a lotase. A lav is malchus. If you're among the shiurim learning malchus, you understand a lav is a malchus. There's a lot of lavim. The Torah is jam packed with lavim. It's just one of the many lavim. So why is it about this lav? Rashi points out in here in Bahar a little bit later, but it's a pasuk in B'chukosai. It's a pasuk that's coming up next week. By B'chukosai, Hashem goes all out in not good ways against Klal Yisrael. He promises terrible things will happen, and terrible things have happened. He tells terrible things. And then, towards the end, he says, and you know why some of these terrible things happen? Pasuk says, Oz tirtze ha'aretz eshab sosehem. When I throw you out of the land, then the land is going to have the breather that it was long waiting for. All the Shemitahs, Chazal point out, what the Pasuk means is that all the Shemitahs that when you lived in Eretz Yisrael you didn't keep, Oz tirtze ha'aretz eshab sosehem. It's a Mishnah Perek Yavos says, but Avon, that the Avera that we didn't keep Shemitah, that's why we went to Galus. It's a lav. It's just a regular lav. A regular lav, you get Malkos, done. It's not Gishmak. It's not something you're looking for. A Malkos, it's a generic lav. By this lav, there's something very, very serious. Very, very powerful about this lav. This lav, I don't want you in Eretz Yisrael. So you could say, okay, it's a Mida Keneg Mida. He didn't take care of Eretz Yisrael. He didn't keep Shemitah. So Mamela, you go to God. But that's not true. Because by Truma, it's not like that. By Maisris, it's not like that. By Orla, it's not like that. By the other mitzvahs at Tluyas Ba'aretz, it's not like that. By Shemitah. By this love, it got a special pedestal, a special din, a special chashivas. That this is the cause of all goals. And the Ramban says, by Yovel. Yovel is just 7 times Shemitah. Yovel Shemitah times 7. It's all the same thing. It's 7 years times 7 is a Yovel. By Yovel, Yirmiyah, the Navi, the Ramban just points out in the beginning over here, Yirmiyah was Geyser Galus, the Kaiser didn't do Shiluach Avadim. By Yovel, you have to free your slaves. And Kaiser didn't do that. So Yirmiyah HaNavi, he declared Galus also, because we were Mekayim the 7 times 7 Shemitah. The Shemitah we didn't do, and the 7 times 7 Shemitah called the Yovel, that we didn't do properly also. That also gets a Galus. And Ibn Ezra says in the beginning over here, Ibn Ezra has a great line. If you like the mystique, the mysticism of Yiddishkeit, this Ibn Ezra, you're going to have a field day with him. Ibn Ezra says, Yesoid Yimei Oilam, the secret of the days of the world, the secret mystery that everybody's trying to figure out, when is it all going to come to an end? When is he coming on the white donkey? The mystery of when it's all going to come to an end, Ramuz Vamokum Hazeh. It's here. It's here in Shemitah. The whole allusion to when this whole dark galus will come to its conclusion and the world will be b'haya b'yomahu, like we were singing, Hashem's going to be echo to shmo echad. When is that all going to come to an end? Everybody's wondering. Everybody. So says the Ibn Ezra, you don't have to wonder. The Ramban elaborates a lot over here also. He elaborates, he talks at length about it. You don't have to wonder so much. You're right here. Just take a look. Don't rush. Read slow. Read carefully. Really look inside, try to figure it out. Ramuz b'mokom hazeh. It does that. These things don't happen by accident. Not by accident. It said that the whole world history is in the parsha of Shemitah. Not by accident. It's a reason the whole world history is by Shemitah. Shemitah is on a big pedestal, a very, very high pedestal. So to open it up, I want to. There's something later in the parsha. It's the whole parsha. The whole parsha is talking about one thing. But something later in the parsha doesn't seem exactly connected. It's very connected, extremely connected. It talks about later, it talks about ribbis. Ribbis means you can't lend money on interest. Some people, they look at this and it makes sense to them. I think it's to maybe the undiscerning eye, it makes sense because you have to treat Jews nicely. You have to give loans and you have to give staka and you have to do bi'afl re'afl kamocha and you do bikr cholim and you do chesed, milas chasadim. So you can't lend money with ribbis. It fits into that sugya. People, you can make sense of it. It seems to be innocent enough. But if you understand money a little bit, and I think, you know, we're Jews, we try to understand money a little bit. If you understand money a little bit, ribbis is the most complicated iser to wrap your head around. It's the most complicated avera to understand. Why do we have such an avera? I want to explain. If you know what the definition of rib is, you can't understand what this avera is. Rib is not a logical crime. Rib is not something that I'm oppressing a borrower. A lender is oppressing, hurting, trying to hurt a poor borrower. Rib just means like this. It means your everyday life. You rent a house, you get money. Everybody understands that. You rent a car, you're renting out a car, you have a car rental company, you rent out a car, you get money. Money's the same thing. Money's an asset. When you rent out an asset, you get paid for that. I have a house. You want to use my house? You pay me to use my house. If it's damshes, to use my asset. You want to use my boat, my car? So you pay me to use my boat, to use my pool. That's an asset. I'm giving you access, ishtamshis, to something that costs money. Money is also an asset. Money sitting is money lost. It's not just because inflation and because I don't have the opportunity to invest. Money sitting in my mattress is money that I'm losing. In 10 years, that money in the mattress can have less buying power, less value than it has today. Money sitting is money lost. So Hashem is telling me, if Hashem told you all home rentals are free, that's crazy. That means Jews can't be in real estate. You know, we can't accept that. That's you know, how are we going to live? All car rentals are free. That's ridiculous. But he says all money rentals are free. Oh, Rebbe's, yeah, Rebbe's. Rebbe's, sure. No, this doesn't make sense. This is a very oppressive mitzvah. This makes it impossible to really use the value of your hard-earned cash. Money makes money. You speak to people of money. How do you make money? Money makes money. How do you get started? You got to rent out a boat first, then rent out a car, and then you have money. Then money makes money. To say you can't charge ribbis is telling me to lose money. It's telling me to put money in the mattress, to give a guy my money, and 10 years later, he's got to give me the same amount of money back. I lost money. 10 years later, the value of my money is less than the money I gave. That's called Hashem is commanding me to lose money. And then you think about it, if it's only that, if it was only ribbis, it's okay. Hashem says, in this one thing, you go above and beyond, lose a little money. One thing, lose a little money. But then you do a little calculation. I was thinking, not complicated math. I think everybody could handle this. How much money are we losing? So right off the bat, you know, you make a little income, you got to give miser. So right off the bat, you cleaned out 10%. And then you say to yourself, okay, 10%, not the end of the world. And I'm not in the banking, money lending business. That's not my problem. So I'm just going to take a 10% hit. I'm not so religious, 20% to give a chaymesh. It's a regular Jew, I'm going to give 10%. So 10% hit, 90%. 90% sounds not bad. That's not true. Because then you get hit with the Shemitah tax. Shemitah tax means once in 7 years you don't work. I'm a farmer. Once in 7 years, you can pull out the calculator for this one, it's a little more than 14%. So every year I got to give 10%. And on a Shemitah year, I got to give also 14%. That 14% over the course of 7 years adds up. So I have it every year, we'll call it you have a 24% hit. Okay, that's pretty bad. But then you start to realize, wait a second. No, I got cheated more over here. Because once a week I have Shabbos. All the guy and all my neighbors, they're working 7 days a week. I could only work 6 days a week. That means every week I'm taking a 14% hit. So I got a 14% hit on the weekly. I got a 14% hit yearly. And I got a 10% hit on my sim. And then you show up at Yovo. Okay, once in 50 years, not the end of the world, but still 2%. You add it all up, you got a clean 50%. You work. Bezeas apechem. You do all the cursed work that Hashem commanded that you got to do your ishtadlus. You're never going to come home with more than 50%. And then, that's only before we started talking about Erev Shabbos. You know, then you read a Mishnah and you can't do malacha. I mean, mincha ulamala. And then some guys are makpid on Rabbeinu Tam. And there's Tosefes Shabbos and Tosefes Shviz. And there's also Yom Tov. And Chol HaMoed hits. You're working like 4 days a year. And everybody, all the neighbors around you, they're making a killing over here. They're working 7 days a week, 7 years out of 7 years, 50 years out of 50 years. And you can't work Shabbos, the Erev Shabbos, Tosefes Shabbos, Makpid on Rabbeinu Tam, once every 7 years, Tosefes Shviz, it adds up. You add it all up. If you're lucky, you're walking away with 40% of your paycheck. That's called the Jewish tax. The Jewish tax is adding up to 60%. What kind of life is this? What kind of existence is this? It's a wild thing. And it's so oppressive, because if you don't abide by these laws, you go to Galus. If you have the audacity to work your field, I'm going to kick you off your field. And Shabbos, we're talking how Shemitah is shocking. Shabbos, we're talking about Chayvei Mises, Chayvei Krisis, a higher level. Shabbos is the only thing, the only place you'll find on the severe averis of chayvei priests, chayvei mises beis, and the only aver you'll find that by Shabbos, if you don't keep Shabbos, but for Hesi at least, dino kigoy. We slap you with a title in halacha. In halacha, it has nafkaminas. In halacha, by Yai Neset, by Ashavas Aveda, has nafkaminas. Dino kigoy. We treat you like a guy. It's an avera. So you don't want me to work. You don't want me to work. You don't want me to work. You don't want me to make a living. You don't want me to have parnasa. And you're threatening me the most violent, aggressive threats. Kicked out of your land. You're not going to own land. You're not going to have any income. You're not going to be able to support yourself. And Shabbos slaps me with a dino kigoy. So this lofty parsha of sevens, you know, you go to Vegas, you get 777, you hit the jackpot. You made it big. And in Yiddishkeit, you get the 777, that means you lost everything. The 777 rule is the opposite of what they have in Vegas. In Yiddishkeit, you hit sevens, can't work today, can't work now, can't work again. 60% of your parnasa down the drain. What is this? What is this oppressive attitude to our ability to make a living? It's mind-boggling. And Hashem says, nah, don't worry about it. Everything's going to work out. Everything's going to work out. Tremendous emunah it takes. So now I want to tell you this yisoid. There's a principle. It's a major principle. That most people, they separate their mitzvahs from their existence. Most people, they separate religion from life. They have a life and they have religion. They go to mass on Sundays and they have a whole week. Some people, they go to work during the day and they go to shacharis in the morning. Some people, they put on tefillin in the morning and they go, you know, have a good time. They go to Ma'ariv, and then by Ma'ariv, you did all the mitzvahs of the day. Now I'm free to go. Now I'm independent. Some people are able to separate religion from life. And at best, some people, I think the attitude is that religion enhances life. My life is great, so why do I buy into religion? I buy into religion because it enhances my life. It, you know, makes me a better person, gives me more time with my family. It just increases. It doesn't. It's not the bare necessity, but it makes things better. And I think and I understand from this parsha and these inyanim, Ashreichem Yisrael. Ashreichem Yisrael. Amar Bikiva Ashreichem Yisrael. Ashreichem Yisrael. How lucky we are that we don't have a religion. How lucky we are that Hashem never imposed upon us a religion. A religion is an empty thing. You could separate it from your life. A religion, you can put a few days a week, a few hours during the day. It could be separate from your life. So Ashreichem Yisrael, that we don't have a religion. Klal Yisrael doesn't have a religion. Klal Yisrael is not interested in a religion. Ashreichem Yisrael, that lifnei mi atem mitarim, mi mitar eschem, that who's purifying us? How do we get purified? Avichem Sheba Shemayim. The Ribbono Shel Olam, that's what we have. We don't have a religion. People make a big mistake. There's Christianity, there's Islam, there's Judaism. The three major religions. It's a lie. There's two major religions. There's Christianity and Islam. Judaism is not a religion. It's Ashreichem Yisrael. How lucky you are. How lucky you are, mi mitar eschem. There's no Christian who was ever mitahir. There's no Muslim who was ever mitahir. A Muslim keeps a few rules. He eats a little halal. He puts out a carpet. A Christian has to keep a few rules. Also, for some reason, they accepted the Ribbis rule for them. I don't know who thought of that, who decided to keep out of all the Averis. They kept that one. They can't charge Ribbis to each other. They keep a few rules. But you guys wouldn't have rules. Ashreichem Yisrael, Rabbi Kiva says. You don't have rules. Mi mitahir eschem. There's a process of purification. Not a religion. Stop with this religion nonsense. Don't categorize Yiddishkeit as a religion. Belittle, you mezalzel what Judaism is. Mezalzel what Yiddishkeit is. It's not a religion. It's a mi mitahir eschem. It's mi mitahir eschem. You're becoming a person. The way to become a person is mi mitahir eschem. But it missed out, when we talk about the sevens, we missed out on one seven, one major seven. The original seven. There was an original seven. The original seven was when we came out of Mitzrayim. Hashem said, "V'safarta l'cha." You now count 7 days, 7 weeks of 7 days. 7 weeks of 7 days, and at the end of 7 weeks of 7 days, you're going to land in a place called Har Sinai. And Har Sinai is not a place. Har Sinai, we say, on Lel Seder, everybody sits around, nobody understands what they're saying. On Lel Seder, Ilu kiravnu har Sinai, if Hashem would have taken us to har Sinai, velo nosan lonu es ha-Torah, and we didn't get the dayenu. Why dayenu? Because har Sinai was worth everything. You were at har Sinai, you experienced the world the way the world should be. V'hoye bayom ahu, like you said, yi Hashem echad u'shmo echad. You stood by har Sinai, the shloshes yimei hagbala, you had 3 days to purify yourself. Mi mitar eschem, avichem shevashemayim. You met the Ribbono Shel Olam at Har Sinai. You saw, you heard the kolos ubrakim, what you can't hear, what you can't see normally. You sat with the Ribbono Shel Olam, mi mitar eschem. You saw, you felt, you experienced the mi mitar eschem. Velo nosan lanu es haTorah dayenu. Because at that point, everything is the way it's supposed to be. Everything. That was the original seven. The original seven took us to Har Sinai. So you ask a funny question. Ma inyan shmita eitzel Har Sinai? What does Shemitah have to do with Har Sinai? Shemitah has everything to do with Har Sinai. Shemitah is when you realize this is not a religion. If this is a religion, you can't abide by these rules. You want rules, you want religion? Okay, so don't eat halal and put out a carpet and even pray 5 times a day. A lot of rules. A lot of difficult rules. I'm taking 60% of your income. That's not a rule. That's you destroyed my life. That you made my life impossible to live. That's Yiddishkeit. You're going to have a purification process. This world, this life, this experience that we have, Ashreichem Yisrael, is trying to get to a destiny of Yom Shekulo Shabbos Umanucho Lechaye Olamin. We have every week a seventh day. And every week on the seventh day, we say this is going to be what the future is supposed to look like. Yom Menucha L'chaye Olamin. A day of rest, a day of Edaber Dalman. You're not allowed to talk in Yanim of the week, in Yanim of Chol. A day that it has to be Kol Malachtecha Asuya. That you have to act and really believe and live as if there is no Malacha, there's no Malacha in your life. But if you live your mitzvahs as a religion, you have a major problem. There's no Mitar Eschem. It's an unfortunate reality. A lot of people, they live their Yiddishkeit is a religion. And you do what you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to do. But there's no Metaher Eschem. There's no Ashreichem Yisrael. You learned, we were so bought in to the culture, the Catholic culture that surrounds us, that we were convinced us the biggest lie that our religion is from the three major religions. The furthest thing from a religion. Our religion is a mimetar eschem. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Kisavo el haaretz. He says, when you come to the land, he's not talking about now. The second pasuk talks about the process of 6 years you work and then you keep a Shemitah. But the first pasuk is not talking about the process of Shemitah. The first pasuk is saying, Kisavo el haaretz. When you reach the land, when it's time to reach your final destiny. When we get there, at the end of the long, dark process, Kisavo al haaretz, you know what you're going to see? Kisavo al haaretz? You're going to experience Shavsa haaretz Shabbos LaHashem. That reality, that experience is going to show you what this is all about. That we're trying to experience a world, trying to really incorporate into our lives something that's not separate from us. It's not separate. It's not a behavior. It's not something we do, and when we're finished doing it, we separate it from the rest of our lives. This is so part and parcel of who we are. You know, not trying to be yotzei a mitzvah, not trying to just scratch off and accomplish something, but to understand, Hashem is very demanding of us. Hashem is demanding of us in ways that we take for granted, that we lose track of because we're so used to it. We're so used to what a Shabbos is. You ask a guy to keep Shabbos, he's incapable of keeping a Shabbos. What it demands is way above his capabilities. You ask him to keep a Shabbos and a Shemitah and a Sfiras HaOmer and all these things, it's way above his capabilities. We take it for granted. But the problem is sometimes we take it so much for granted, we forget the opportunity that stands in front of us. And comes during these days, we say it more, but it has nothing to do with specifically these days more than any other days, but we just say it more. Motzi Shabbos, you're going to say it more, but it has nothing to do more Motzi Shabbos than last Motzi Shabbos. When you say Ashreichem Yisrael, to feel Ashreichem Yisrael, how lucky you are that mi mitar eschem, who purifies you? Avichem shebashamayim. That Shabbos is a purification process. Tefillin is a purification process. Davening is a purification process. Yitzitzis is a purification process. Everything that you do in your life is a purification process. If you wake up in the morning and you put on tzitzis, and you don't walk away a different person, if you don't understand that when you put on tzitzis, you're changing, you're evolving, you're developing. If you don't understand when you put on tefillin, that you're elevating yourself, but elevating not for a temporary amount of time as long as the tefillin was on. You're elevating, you're changing your whole existence, your whole mahus, your whole who you are. You're just practicing a religion. But this is not a religion. Who told you it's a religion? You're practicing a religion. It's a big mistake. But the Rabban Shalom wants us, when you put on tefillin, you see a shin. Look, look. Don't rush. There's no rush. Look. Look at the shin. There's a shin over there. There's a shin on the Shel Rosh when you put it on. There's a dalet. There's a yud. Look. And you say, well, what's the tzitzis? It reminds me. Never reminded me one time. I put on tzitzis every day of my life. Never reminded me. That's tzitzis' fault. Why you get angry at tzitzis? Why are you yelling at the tzitzis that the tzitzis didn't do its job? The tzitzis, you never reminded me of any mitzvahs. You never did your job. You don't work. The magic trick that Hashem promised, it's broken. It's all broken. The tzitzis is not broken. I don't want to say it was broken, but it's not the tzitzis. The tzitzis is not broken. The tefillin's not broken. But you treat tzitzis like a religion. I got to put down the carpet and bow. I got to eat halal meat. Okay, then I promise you nothing's going to happen to you. You're right, the magic trick is broken. But the magic trick works. It works. Hashem is metaher eschem. That's what our Yiddishkeit is. We have a few weeks left to yeshiva. And a few weeks left to yeshiva means to me a few weeks left until some guys won't be in yeshiva anymore. Some guys maybe forever. And some guys for a few months. And I wanted to say a message for some guys, especially if the guys are not going to be in yeshiva. At the moment, it looks like maybe forever. And that's okay. And you're always going to be in yeshiva. The Rabban Shalom has a big yeshiva. It's called the world. It's a wonderful yeshiva. Hashem's going to take care of everybody. He's going to make sure everybody has opportunities for growth. But don't leave this yeshiva. Don't walk out of this yeshiva with an attitude and a perspective that we have the best religion out there. It's a zilzal. You're belittling what we have. You're putting it on the same category as Christianity and Islam. It's a leitzonis. It's a busha. It's not Islam, Christianity. We have mimitar eschem. And your life's purpose, your life's goal is that yitzitzis is mitaher, your tefillin is mitaher. Lag v'omer should be mitar, and Shabbos is mitar. Shabbos mitar. And the greatest things we have are the sevens. The jackpot is the sevens. The sevens are the major jackpot. What's mitar the most? To say, I'm not working this year. A whole year, I'm dedicating just to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. The jackpot. A whole Shabbos, 14% of my weekly income. I'm not working just to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. The jackpot sevens. You got the whole jackpot. Because on the Shabbos, and the Shemitah, and the Yovel, mitar eschem lagamre. If you keep Yiddishkeit, but not if you keep religion. Religion doesn't work. Religion's not going to be successful. Mirtz Hashem, now we're getting closer to Zefarta Lecha, Sheva Shabbosos. Now it's like a big major, not halftime, a little after halftime. Big major celebration, Lag BaOmer coming up. And Ashreichem Yisrael, Mi Metar Eschem, Avichem, Sheva Shemaim, Sheva Great Shabbos, a great Lag BaOmer, should lift us up. A lot of Kedusha. Have a good chance.